Hi, everyone. It's Kevin. Today is Thursday, March 18th. 2 weeks ago on the podcast, Kurt Hesch and I talked about the great opportunities on our plate because our nation needs more and better submarines. This need is driven by the great power competition with our adversaries, namely Russia and China, who in developing their submarine fleets work hard to steal United States technology and intellectual property. So on today's podcast, I'm speaking with Eric Rommel, our director of security, to talk about the threats we face and what each one of us needs to do to keep our technology, U.S. technology. So, Eric, thanks for joining me today on the podcast. For folks that may not know you, please give our listeners a bit of a background about you.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. A little bit about me. I went to the University of Maryland, got an engineering degree, and went off to work for Shell Oil Company. After that, I joined the FBI and studied counterintelligence and intelligence collection before becoming the special agent in charge of the New Orleans field office. After I retired, I wanted to continue my tradition of being a patriot, and I sought out a company that could use my skills and that I would be excited to work for, and that was, of course, Electric Boat.
Great. Well, it's good to have you too, Eric. So security is something that you and I talk about quite a bit. It's a huge topic, covers a lot of areas, and it's something that is underpins every single thing we do. When from the point we walk into the gate in the morning to the point we log in on our computers and work to protect our information. So let's start by outlining first the context of the threats that we face.
Well, boss, threats come in many flavors, but basically there are people and countries who want to do harm to us, either personally, politically, or ideologically. Simply put, they want to gain any advantage they can and undermine our liberties and our freedoms. Some of those threats come in a physical form. This happens through an act of violence or intimidation, such as the Navy Yard back in September 2013, and then the Pearl Harbor shooting in December of 2019. Some countries want to harm us in a different way, through the collection or theft of our information and technology. Russia and China are prime examples of this. Russia operates with a well-practiced surgical-style methodology for collection. They're still using Cold War tactics and techniques, but have proven themselves to be agile in cyberspace. They have a desire to focus on the capabilities of their submarines and their missiles, as well as their asymmetric threats. As an example, Russia turned to a modern platform to conduct traditional old-school recruiting in the form of LinkedIn. As you know, we had a few instances at Electric Boat where very attractive women purported they worked for EB and requested some of our current employees be their connection. I refer to that as clickbait. They put a pretty picture on their profile, and we gravitate to that. We click on it, and then some relationship is formed. That's where it starts. Well, in this instance, neither one of them are EB employees, and those pictures were not representative of who was on the other side of that profile either. In the recent SolarWinds attack, that was another example of Russia's cyber efforts. Russia hacked into SolarWinds and installed malware on their servers, which lay dormant until SolarWinds did a patch update. They had to connect to the internet to do an update. And during that time, they pushed that malware out to thousands and thousands of their clients to include Electric Boat. The good thing is we got ahead of it and they did not hack into our systems at all. China has a very different strategy. I refer to that as death by a thousand cuts, because they're about volume. They want to collect as much of everything that they possibly can. It doesn't matter if it's military-related or personal or anything. They just want to collect everything they can collect, and then they sift through it later at home. I want to get one thing straight. China has no privately owned companies and rarely has any citizens who are independent from the government. They are very loyal to their government, and they have a thing called the five-year plan. And that five-year plan includes being better at everything that the government supports. And the way they do that is every individual has the obligation to give the government everything, all of their efforts, everything that they can collect, they give it back to the government. Back when I was in the FBI, I had a case on Huawei and ZTE. Huawei and ZTE are Chinese telecom companies with hundreds of phones, tablets, and watches, which have built-in backdoor features which allow China to hear and see all of your data, all of your information, and even your whereabouts. Right now, there is a ban in place by the U.S. government, but it's limited to future technology imports, not current items you may have. Something more aligned with what EB does is China's theft of technology, trade secrets, and intellectual property. Take some time to research the Chinese J-20 fighter jet as an example. So when I mentioned that China was trying to increase their military stance, they have a plan to build 6 nuclear submarines by 2030. This will further their ability to threaten surface ships in the Pacific, something we all need to be worried about. The Russian and Chinese submarines are built on the backs of everyone who works at EB. It took nuclear submarine technology 120 years to get to the point where we are. Yet Russia has done it in half the time, and China even less. How? Are they smarter than us? No, they're not smarter. They've just stolen the technology. They've collected it in bits and drabs over a long period of time. They reverse engineer that information, and they just outright steal it. Everything that they have was created in the United States. It's an aggregate of that data which has done us the harm. We need to do better in protecting the next generations from our adversaries.
Well, thanks, Eric, for that. It's sobering to think about how present the threat is, and it is everywhere. It can't be underestimated. While we don't want to make people paranoid, we also want to make sure that people have a healthy awareness of it and are skeptical of some of those things that they can confront out there. So let's talk a little bit about the different types of security that our employees are familiar with every single day. One, to ensure safety and overall to preserve our technical advantage in the face of the threats that we face from our adversaries.
At EB, we have a number of different security programs embedded under my department. All of them interact with one another, and that's the beauty of our security program. First and foremost is our physical and personnel security. Our guard force is in place to protect us from those physical threats that we talked about earlier. We also have our badging and access control to make sure we keep the right people in and the wrong people out. That's part of the background check and the clearances process too. We want to make sure that when we're hiring someone, that we're not bringing someone on just solely based on their skill set. We want to make sure they're the right fit for Electric Boat, and that if they have a dark past, we need to know about that before we give them a job. For physical threats, the threat is larger than just Groton and Quonset Point. With the advent of social media, we've seen some civil unrest in the communities over the last number of months, and as soon as that hits social media, it now gets spread across the globe and introduces itself into Groton or Quonset Point, where it didn't necessarily used to be before. But now there's a platform and people can hear that message and they can incite a little bit of violence or uproar in an area that traditionally never had it. Another part of the security program is our insider threat program. Insider threats are very concerning. I don't know if you know, but there's been an increase of nearly 50% in the last 2 years on insider threat cases. A lot of that has to do with COVID and working from home. People are under extraordinary stress, financial concerns, and then, of course, the politics behind the COVID pandemic has driven people to behave very differently than they're used to. For insiders, they often feel marginalized and perhaps even victimized by their company, resulting in a need, in their mind at least, to set things straight. Employees, vendors, and contractors who have ill intent can do a lot of damage to EB. Sometimes it's in the form of violence, but often comes in the form of stealing or mishandling data. As an example, Edward Snowden believed he was doing the right thing. He was righting a wrong, that the end justified the means. Whatever cliche you choose, he gave away classified information to our adversary. It caused irreversible damage to the United States and put lives in danger. Edward Lin is another example. He was a lieutenant commander in the Navy who had direct interaction with the Chinese and the Taiwanese governments. He committed espionage because he wanted to impress a woman. It just turned out that that woman was an undercover FBI agent. Another part of the security team that I have is cyber and supply chain. The SolarWinds example that we mentioned earlier is something that the cyber team keeps an eye on. Just to put a point on it, EB had 28 billion attempts of hacking on our network just last month. I'm happy to say none of those were successful. Even beyond the earlier LinkedIn example, cyber and social media is our Achilles heel. It's not just EB, but this new generation, a social media generation, loves to share. We share intimate details of our lives, our friends, our whereabouts, our likes and our dislikes. China and Russia have never been in a better position to recruit you than they are today. Stop sharing all of that information. You know, maintaining our advantage and keeping our technology, U.S. technology, is of the utmost importance. Specifically as it relates to our technology and our supply chain, we have to make sure that the data that we are sending to our vendors is done safely and securely, and that they also are storing it safely and securely. In order to do that, we should work closely with supply chain and purchasing to determine levels of risk associated with third-party vendors. But the last portion is something that's new to Electric Boat, but not new to those of you that may have served in the military. There's something called operational security, and we refer to it as OPSEC. OPSEC encompasses all security trades. It alerts us and keeps an eye on us when we are on the phone and we're talking about things that maybe we shouldn't be talking about on an open phone line. When we publish photos for others to see, public release information, we have to be mindful of what those photos contain and who may be interested, other than your audience, who else may be interested in seeing what we're taking pictures of.
All right. Well, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about this business as a team sport across the board, every part of the enterprise, including security. So can you talk briefly a little bit about how your team coordinates with other parts of the business to make sure we're maintaining our security?
Security is definitely a team sport. Internally, we work with HR, you know, on vetting employees for those background checks, those clearances we talked about. Again, I don't want to bring someone into EB just because they know how to do a certain skill. I want to make sure they're the right person as well. We also work with engineering, design, and program offices to carefully review what material is shared between departments and those vendors that they use. Externally, I take advantage of my previous life, and I work very closely with the FBI and CIS and other three-letter agencies to keep abreast of new and actionable intelligence. If it's something new that I need to know about China or Russia and the tactics they use, I have that connection back to the intel community so that we can make ourselves a little bit stronger and a little bit smarter. We don't use those relationships just to react, right? We want to plan for the future and have a strategy. Just like we do for the Virginia program and the Columbia program, we have a strategy going forward. We have the same mentality in cybersecurity, physical security, and all the other disciplines.
So I want to make sure our employees all understand what we can do to ensure our technology remains U.S. technology and we don't give the bad guys a leg up here. So can you briefly talk about that? What can each of us do?
Each one of us plays a very important role in this. And it matters not whether you're the president or the frontline worker. We all play a part. So some of the things that we can do to be more safe and more secure is just be mindful of what data you can and cannot share. Who are you talking to outside of EB? Who's listening in the background? Are you taking your badge off when you walk out at night so that you don't be identified right away as an EB employee? Just be mindful of those things. Certainly physical threats are terrible when they happen. They have a lasting impact, something that are very emotional, and they could literally scar you. And we never want those to happen. But equally damaging to the United States are those long-term cyber and counterintelligence threats that we talked about. Those things are chronic, and they take decades to play out. We may not see them in our lifetime at EB, but our next generation will, and it will hurt us. It'll hurt us as a nation. So I just need you to help me be mindful of those things. I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but I just want people to be aware, and I want people to be thoughtful about the data and the information that they have in their possession, and just make sure you take care of it.
Thanks, Eric, and I agree with that. While we don't want our folks necessarily to be overly paranoid about it, we need to be healthy with our skepticism when it comes to the security threats that we face from our adversaries. And you and I live with this information on a daily basis, and frankly, this feels like the Cold War days that I grew up with in the 70s and 80s. And I think some of that may have waned a bit with some of our younger folks. And we need to make sure that we're impressing that upon each of us, that these threats are real, that we need to understand the threats, and then ultimately we need to keep our company, our nation's security, top of mind in the work we do every single day. So I encourage everyone listening to check out some of the information Eric's provided. There's going to be a number of links that you'll see attached to the transcript for the podcast. And if you read through them, they're pretty short reads, but you won't forget them. And they're real life examples of espionage being caused by our adversaries. And it's recent and relevant to the work that we do. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk again soon.